Set?
We're set.
Okay. Hi, I'm Jill, compulsive overeater and food addict.
Hi, Jill.
Really pleased to be here. Hour and 15 minutes isn't that long. I drive a lot of places. It's 45 minutes back and forth to work every day. So really, in the general scheme of things. And it's so nice to see a group of people. I know several faces from many different places, but...
Could you speak up, please?
Sure. I can speak louder. Trust me. All right. So, where do I begin? I don't always show my pictures or my pair of pants that I see. Since this is a 100-pounder series, I'm excited. When I show them, sometimes people almost identify out. They're like, well, I was never that big, or I only had 50 pounds to lose, or they feel maybe that for me it's a badge of honor. But these were my pants at my top weight. Nothing to me says the story like seeing these pants. And they were snug. They were snug. I have lost over 200 pounds, about 210 pounds. I've maintained it since, and I have a picture. A lot of people don't believe me that I've lost that much until they see the props. But that is a miracle, that weight loss, and the fact that I've maintained it. It's not my miracle. It's my higher power's miracle. I don't truly take the credit for that. I've never been able to do it, ever. To finish qualifying, I came into these rooms January 2nd, true, like I was coming to start a diet. We couldn't start on January 1st because there was an overnight New Year's Eve party and I still wanted to eat that morning, right? So I walked in, I started my diet January 2nd, but the convenient meeting to go to wasn't until Friday night, which I think was like January 4th. But I actually started my diet, my food plan. I didn't know the difference between a diet and food plan, January 2nd. I have 5 years, 10 months, 6 days of abstinence. Now, I didn't lose that whole 210 pounds in program, and you'll find that out in my story. I lost my last 50 pounds after I came into the rooms and have maintained it since September 2008. Never before in my life had I maintained a weight loss longer than 24 hours. And I'm not kidding. I would lose massive amounts of weight, and the minute I felt like I hit goal or that maintenance word, I instantly ate again and gained it back, and more and more and more and more. And the amount to lose and the amount to gain just got bigger and bigger and bigger. That full size that I was that for several years. To go back to the beginning, I, as long as I can remember, did not have a normal relationship with food. I can tell you things we ate and things I dreamed of eating and things I plotted to eat from a very little girl. My mom had us, me and my sister, on diets from elementary school. The school nurse pulled me out of the fifth grade class for one lunch a week for a special diet club. I was miserable about it, always, about my weight, about my body. Who knows what came first? I know I also never felt a part of this world, people in this world. I always felt different. Who knows which came first? Did I use the food because of that? Did I become that because of the way I was with food? Who knows? It's a moot point. So I became an expert dieter starting from very young. And I dieted my way, like you see in the pictures, up to 360 pounds. I had a very early abusive first marriage that was fortunately very brief. That marriage broke up, and within 2 weeks, I was dating my current husband. Talk about a rebound. I've been with him for 28 years, so that was a blessing. But I was in no emotional shape or maturity level at all to move into a relationship. I was still in my early 20s, and my first marriage had already broken up. And I had tremendous food issues during that first marriage with my husband. He knew that he was an abusive man, and he knew that that was my weak spot. So he preyed upon it. And, you know, and now, thank goodness, with program, that no longer hurts anymore. I realize I had a big part in that that whole relationship. So anyway, so now I marry my current husband, and at this point my weight is pretty normal and healthy, although I still felt I was fat and miserable and always thought I would. And my current husband can eat all he wants and always could and was legendary for the amount he could eat. And he wanted me to eat and be happy. And the first thing I'd started doing was gaining weight. And then started that whole cycle. I don't think I really got overweight until that first year of marriage. I had my first child, gained 75 pounds. Second child gained 125 pounds. After that, I was never even close to a normal body weight. And I tried every diet I knew of and that I could possibly even afford. The one story I do like to tell, this was between my two children. I paid a lot of money that we did not have for a diet center that you went in and weighed in every single day with a counselor. And all really the counselor did was discuss what you were eating and put you on the scale. And I followed it rigidly, and I lost 50 pounds in 12 weeks perfectly because I was a bit insane. And I am a very black and white person. I'm either all in or I'm not. And I had financed this on a credit card, money we didn't have. So I hit my goal weight, and boy, I hated every minute of that 12 weeks. I hated the food. I hated the food prep. And I thought, okay, I hit maintenance. And she said, wow, you get an extra quarter ounce of fat-free cheese and an extra half a cup of skim milk. Yay! And I said, what? Like, this is the way I have to eat the rest of my life? I went home that night and ate an entire box of cookies. The entire box. Because I am a binge eater. And those binges got bigger and closer together as time went on. But I obviously started binging quite early. And I went back in with my tail between my legs the next day and said to this counselor, help me, there's something wrong. I went home and I ate a whole box of cookies. And she said, you know, I really don't think she was a trained counselor. I'm sure she was just a person who was paid to be there. She said, well, get on the scale. Let's see what it did. Got on the scale. She said, it didn't even do anything. You're fine. Go home. And I knew deep inside, what is wrong with me? It doesn't matter that it didn't put an instant pound on me today. I ate the whole box and I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop. I never went back to that place. And of course, if I took the 50 pounds off in 12 weeks, I'd probably put it back on in 8. And I got really discouraged as the diets went by and the years went by. And I had two sons. And I became a hard drinker, although this is my only fellowship. I am not an alcoholic. I was a hard drinker. And I drank a lot, and I ate a lot, and I raised my two sons, and I was the martyr mom. And I some of you have heard this story before. But I was going to prove I was a good person by raising two perfect children. And talk about warped logic. So I threw myself into, you know, mothering these two boys and drinking and eating, and they were quite embarrassed by me at many times, and I knew that. I couldn't help it, especially as they hit high school. That was really painful, but some drink and a whole bunch of food, and I was fine. I could continue going. Then my oldest son, his life started falling apart. He started having mental health issues and suicide attempts. And at this point, I thought, well, of course, an addict, self-centered, everything about me, that it was my fault. It was my fault. I was going to prove to the world I was a good person with these two children, and my son's life was falling apart. That was my first true bottom, and that was before program. I did not have program. And I knew that I either had to do something or just give it up completely. At first, I tried to just never eat again. I honestly thought that that was the solution. I would never eat again, and I really kind of hoped I would just die. I made it 3 days because I'm a binge eater and I'm a compulsive eater. I've never been an anorexic. I've had, you know, brushes with bulimia and exercise bulimia, but I'm a compulsive overeater. So I went on the diet of all diets, and that's what started this major weight loss that I had before I came into the rooms. And what do you do when you're a compulsive overeater? I had the true classic what the big book describes, the physical reaction to substances that once I started, I couldn't stop. And look, face it, many of the, even the fad diets took out my substances. So my body got cleared of it, and I felt that. I felt that. But I had that mental obsession that kept taking me back and kept taking me back. So what do? You get crazier and crazier and more desperate. I lost, I don't know, I went from 360 pounds in my low, well, you know, took a couple of years and I got down to like 270 and I joined a gym and I tried this and I tried that and I couldn't get lower. And then I joined another diet center for a lot of money. This was a different one. And my husband just gritted his teeth and said, all right, you know, spent a lot of money, and I got down to maybe an all-time low for me. I hate to use pounds, but down to like 185 pounds. And I started, I don't know how to describe it, except that I started getting so desperate because everybody kept looking at me and saying to me, you've got it, you've done it, you're a success, you pulled it together. And I was secretly eating, and the pounds were slipping back on. And you know, at that point, where do you turn? I had spent all this money. I had tried everything. I felt like my whole worth, my whole life was dependent on proving to everybody else that I was a good person through the pounds on the scale, and it wasn't working. At this point, there was a woman at work. I started a new job, and there was a woman at work that everybody said, oh, you know, they knew. People know when you're a crazy dieter. All you talk about is food. All you talk about is dieting. They know you're a crazy dieter. And they said, well, that woman over there, she lost a lot of weight, like more than 200 pounds, and she's kept it off for like 6 years now, but you don't want to do what she does. She's crazy. And I thought, well, yeah, but she's kept it off for 6 years, and she looks pretty happy to me. So I started watching her at, you know, at work. Events are really food fests, you know, and I'm white knuckling because I've got all this money and I got to go get on the scale. At this center, you would go weigh in a minimum of 3 times a week. This is how crazy I was. I went the one time because they give you this little graph to chart your weight, and my graph better go down or sideways or else, you know, life as I knew it was over. I was so crazy that their scale was in a public place. I took my pants off to get on that scale to keep that graph even or going down. I was thinking, well, my shirt's long enough. Nobody will see anything. And I have to wonder what these people thought of me, that I was in this public place taking off my jeans because they might weigh a pound and I could get the graph to go down. Now, of course, when the graph went up, I threw it out because I wasn't going to have any graph that didn't go sideways or up. So now, meanwhile, I'm watching this woman at work, and she really had a piece about her. Can you guess? She was an OA member. They said she was crazy because she was sugar and flour free and weighed and measured her food. And at the events, she never ate any of the what everybody else called the good stuff. So I sat down next to her with my little diet breakfast, and I was miserable and hating everybody in the room because they were eating everything they wanted. And she was happy, and all she had was a bottle of water. So I asked her, I said, what is it you do? And she said that she was in OA and that she had her food plan and that she doesn't eat any of that food ever. I said, yep. So I guess she explained that she doesn't have sugar or flour. I said, ever? And I thought to myself, yeah, she's crazy. And she had just been to her son's wedding. And I said, oh, well, you had cake at your son's wedding. And she said, no. And she, you could tell by talking to her, it didn't bother her. She was fine. And I said, yeah, well, my son gets married. This is the same son that had all these issues. You better believe I'm eating cake. But you know what? And I went and I thought, nah, there's no way. There's no way. And I went home, but I couldn't shake it. I couldn't shake the look in her face around food. I couldn't shake that her whole body. I mean, everybody else was eating and she was, you know, like this. So I started pressuring her. Take me to a meeting. What do you need to do? And she was like, no, you're in a whole different intergroup than me. I'm like, I don't know what an intergroup is. She said, trust me, I live far away. You got to go to different meetings. I said, no. She said, just go online, look it up. But I made her tell me what her diet was. I can only imagine what a pest I was. I made her tell me, and she didn't want to tell me. She said, you got to find your own. Finally, she told me, and I started her food plan, which was a very popular mainstream book. That's how I started my diet before I even came, because I thought, well, I'm going to check this out before I even go. And I went home and told my husband I want to try OA. And he's like, really, you've got a couple $1,000 already invested in this plan, and they made you buy these bars like 2 years in advance. I had 2 years of bars pre-purchased. You know, of course those bars were loaded with sugar and chocolate, and I was supposed to eat two a day. And I would eat two or three or four at a serving, and I would try and tell the counselor, well, you know, I ate two. She said, you ate two? Weren't you disgustingly full? And I thought, you know, I could eat 12. I could eat 12. What do you mean disgustingly full? And I couldn't tell her I ate four or five. So my and I said, all right, honey, I know. I spent all this money. I won't go. I'll keep with it. But it wasn't working, and I knew it wasn't working. And that same week, I could not sleep, and I was a good morning sleeper at the time. I'm an early riser now. I couldn't sleep on a Saturday morning. And I got up, and I went down, and I started doing something, I don't know, and I turned on the news. And at like 5 a.m., the first news program that came on the morning, the opening story was this center I had gone to had locked its doors and chained them, and everybody lost all their money. And I was like, yes, because my husband didn't want me to go try something else because I had invested all that money. And I was like, now I can go to OA with a clear conscience that, like, you know, I wouldn't have to beat myself up over having spent the money. Now, I really think I did not have a God at that time that I had any knowledge or awareness of. I didn't have a higher power. I really think higher power was looking out for me. I know he was. I don't think my higher power closed an entire diet center for me. I really don't. My higher power doesn't work that way. But I think my higher power had me all lined up so that the minute that closed, I was like, yes. So I started trying this food plan, and I was like, these meals aren't bad. It's more than, you know, I've gotten. And I walked into my first meeting. It was a Friday night meeting. And I really think my higher power was looking out for me because it was a sugar-free, flour-free, weighed and measured food plan. And I did not know that the first meeting I picked was a HOW meeting. And I walked in and I saw people who all in that room were as happy and carefree and relaxed as this woman at work. And even though she lived in, it ends up it was Jersey Shore in the group. So at that first meeting, I heard hope. I was scared to death and miserable and I couldn't talk to anybody. And of course I couldn't share. And somebody after the meeting bought me a big book. Gave me a big book as a gift and said, there's a really good meeting in this room on Sunday. Why don't you come on Sunday? So I guess I felt I couldn't not come since somebody invited me. And I came on Sunday, and at the end of the meeting, I was the hanger around the literature table, afraid to talk to anybody, which is a little hard to believe that I was afraid to talk to anybody, but I was petrified. And somebody looked at me and said, you want to start a step study? And I said, well, what's a step study? And they said, just sit down and stay with us. And in my second meeting, I started a step study. To me, that's, I count myself lucky. Those things were not anything I did. They just fell into place. So here I was already following my food plan. I started a step study, my second meeting, with a group of women that were the first people that I learned to share some of my deepest, darkest secrets that I thought would kill me if I ever shared them. It was not an OA-approved step study, and I wouldn't recommend it again to anybody else, yet it was the path that got me here. It got me started, so how could I ever complain? We also didn't finish. We petered out during the summer. That was obviously January, and everybody went on vacation, and I was the only one coming back after vacation with step 6 and 7. But I continued to work the steps through different means, and every time I worked the steps, I've gotten a deeper understanding of how working those steps on a day-to-day basis is what provides the inner change. And every time I work through the steps or work somebody else through the steps, I learn better how I can use those steps every day. And I can monitor my own inner change through the inventories. It is truly a miracle. So I quickly lost my last 50 pounds on a pink cloud, and it was very easy. But then, like I say, it got a little dicey that summer. My step group fell apart. I did not follow through the steps. I had a lot of white knuckling there for a little while. But, you know, higher power provided. I was, like I said, I'm a black and white person. So if you tell me to work the tools, I'm going to work the tools. And if you tell me to come to meetings, I'm going to come to meetings. And they told me to do service. And I instantly started doing service. So, you know, I would not recommend white knuckling. But if you got a white knuckle, at least all those things will get you through until somebody starts working the steps with you again. I did a step study in another group with the OA workbook. I did a step study, one of the 5-week back to basics where we did in a group. And there were a couple others in there. And this last time I did a line by line big book study. And I can say that really the miracle of my life is, you know, the big book talks about, is somebody keeping time? Because I don't have a watch.
You have time. It's 25 after 7.
Okay. Let me know when I have 5 minutes, I guess. What was I saying? The big book says, you know, rocketed into a fourth dimension. And I love that phrase. I have been rocketed into a fourth dimension. There are times when an OA person either calls me or I call them or something comes up and I'll just say, you know what? I have to stop here for a minute, take a breath and say, I feel like I'm living the promises today. And that is a miracle. That is a miracle. I totally lost my train of thought. Oh, but what does rocketed into a fourth dimension really mean? It doesn't mean my life became a fairy tale. I have the same husband, although our relationship is a hell of a lot better. What he put up with, I cannot believe, over so many years. And now he is so supportive of my program. He does more of my cooking and food prep than I do, and he has it down to a science. And my shopping, and to him it's worth it because I am such a happier person. And I'm sure I'm much easier to live with. He even encourages me. Yeah, you got another weekend, business weekend to go, 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 go. Because you know what? I came back from the last Region 7 business assembly on like a little cloud. It holds me for like a week of really, really being in such a good place. And as long as I keep getting together with people who do this program, I can maintain it. And I also really know for a fact, and I have full faith, that it is the giving it to others that lets me keep it. Here's an example for you. I consider myself, most days, I consider myself recovered. I have no food obsession. It has been removed. I did not do it. I did not get rid of it. I took the actions, and my higher power took it away. This Saturday, it's probably started, if I'm going to be honest, you know, every day I pray and I ask higher power, please help me be honest. Especially with my self-denial, so easy, isn't it? It probably started around Thursday night that I started feeling some kind of way. I'm sugar and flour free, but let me tell you, there's a whole lot of other foods I know I can't have. And I'm really, I also have a problem with fats. So around Thursday night, I started having stray thoughts about fatty foods, and I wanted fatty foods. And you know, I do my inventories every night. I do my reading. I do my prayer. I do what I'm supposed to do. But my husband just kind of miraculously started sticking by me. I needed to drop off something for convention because I didn't go to convention at a friend's house. And I said, oh, I'm going to go drop this off. He's like, you want me to ride with you? And I was like, yeah, I think you better ride with me because I'm feeling some kind of way. So he got in the car. By Saturday, I was miserable. I was cranky. I was short-tempered. And he's like, what is the matter with you? I said, I want fat and I want fatty food and I don't know what's wrong. I continued to do my inventory. Look, at the time, I couldn't find anything. I'm like, there's no resentments. In retrospect, I can pretty much guess what it was. But I did everything. I reached out to my sponsor. She had one text back to me. She said, Jill, do something you love. Which sounds a little funny, but she knows me. She's listened to me whine for a lot. And she knows that most of the time, I react through fear. And it's fear of a to-do list that's 20 yards long, and expectations and all these commitments, whether it be work, family, service, all put together. And she said, just do something you love. And I did it, but I was like, you know what, higher power? I sat down between Saturday night and Sunday morning in my 11th step. I'm explaining this to all of you because this is the practical way these steps work in my life every day. And it better be a practical way for me that I can see, feel, and access my higher power, or I'm going to end up back in the food. So that night and Sunday morning, I diligently, earnestly prayed. And I had to sit and think, What do I want? Do I really want my higher power to relieve this, or do I really want to eat? I asked higher power. I said, I really don't want to eat. I don't want to go back. I want this removed, but please just show me how to do it. And in my writing, I said, I promise I will do what I'm supposed to do. And the first thing I did after my Sunday morning meditations and prayer and writing was I got on the Sunday morning phone meeting. Our inner group has one. I don't normally attend it. I got on. I shared. I'm not good at phone meetings. I qualified. I shared. There are newcomers afterwards. So I stayed on. They say all sponsors stay on for the newcomers. And there was some lively newcomer stuff, and that newcomer instantly hooked up with the sponsor. And I said, well, you know, I'm going to sign off. Goodbye. The second the phone hit, it rang, and it was a woman from many states away, and she said, could you please just spend some time with me on the phone? And she is new to OA, and she had gone to her local face-to-face meetings, and she wanted to know what... She's from another fellowship. There were no sponsors. What's the deal? I really need a sponsor. Can you help me with this program? I have a lot of sponsors at the moment. And I said to her, if I have to fit you in, I will, but is there another way I can help you? And I promised to find her sponsor. And we talked for 35 minutes. And guess what? I got off the phone, and the rest of that day, not one food craving, not one. It was gone. It was gone. And it was through sharing this, it was putting myself out there, taking the action, earnestly asking higher power and having the faith that higher power could do it, and then helping somebody. It's, you know, it's not like an alien concept once it clicks in and it happens enough times. Like maybe at first it was. I couldn't wrap my mind around this. You know, the concepts of the inventory that... you know, that I'm supposed to be the actor, not the director. Well, what do you mean? I never told anybody what to do in my life. You know, and all I was doing in my head was building resentments because I think everybody else should act this way. Yeah, I didn't tell them to, but I'm judging in my head every minute of the day how I think. And those just took so much practice. And I know I have a lot of practice to go, as Saturday was proof. Nobody does this perfectly. You know, you can look at what happened Saturday as a lot of ways. It could be a message from a higher power that you better work your program hard every day. It's a reminder that I am still a compulsive overeater and always will be. And that if I rest on my laurels, I'm going to go back to that white knuckling through the day. So, how much time?
We have about 5 more minutes.
About 5 more minutes. So, you heard what my life was like before program, how I got here. What my life is like since. I still rocketed in the fourth dimension. I'll go back to that. I kind of got sidetracked. I have the same job. I have the same husband. I have the same 2 kids. I've had the dog for 9 years. Same dog that barks every day and pees on the floor. I've been rocketed into a fourth dimension, but it didn't change my life. It was the inner change that the promises promised. I go through my days. Most days and most moments, light of heart and in the moment, I can look up and see the blue sky and the leaves, and instead of burning with resentments, I can enjoy the moment. That's basically, I think, what the fourth dimension is. Living connected with my higher power, with that energy flow. You know, my morning reading had a really good sentence. It said that, you know, prayer changes my attitude towards God. It doesn't change God's attitude towards me. And that, to me, of course, was good for a half a page of writing. My higher power is always there. His power is always there. It's me who blocks it off. That flow of energy, all I have to do is take the right action to access it, to tap into it and use it. And I used to think of that, you know, God's energy. I say God, I am... not an organized religion person at all. It's just so much easier to say God, my higher power. I used to think of it as an external force, but through studying the steps, it is definitely internal. When I am in sync with the universe, with my higher power, that power flows from within. And I mean, it's there in the big book. It says if we look deep enough, we know that that power has been there all the time. So if anybody is still struggling with food, or if I've overwhelmed you with a bunch of step stuff, keep at it. Every time you study the steps, it gets better and better and easier and easier. And every time you take somebody else through it, It is the wonder of seeing somebody else say, aha, that's how it works. That's how it works. There is a solution. And look, I hardly even really talked about the excess weight. The physical part of this program is a miracle. I can run. I can walk stairs at my highest weight. I couldn't lie down to sleep. I couldn't walk up a flight of stairs without stopping halfway. I could not. I would panic over the thought of putting on a sock because it was very hard for me to reach my own feet. Yeah. That's a miracle. But really, the miracle is the other part, the way that you get through each, that I get through each day. So that's my story. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you.
Our seven traditions states that every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. We're going to pass the basket. Does anyone have any questions?